Thank you, sir. Proverbs chapter 16. Like I said, we normally would be in the talents this morning, but God has, for over 2 weeks now, laid this verse of Scripture upon my heart, and I hope and pray that He give me grace this morning to preach its truth. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, we have recorded in this one verse a twofold truth, which is both humbling and comforting to every true believer. And God's Word usually works that way. For us to be able to receive it, we have to be humbled. James calls it, receive with meekness the engrafted Word. It's amazing how God's Word has no effect on the prideful. But when God humbles us and we become meek in spirit, the truths of God begin to have their full effect upon us, because God resisteth the proud, Proverbs said, but He giveth grace unto the humble. So that's why I say, when we as believers approach God's Word, it's better that we're humbled when we do it. And this twofold truth does exactly that. If we take our time this morning, and I hope and pray you'll give me your ear and your hearts as best as you can with this message this morning, because the twofold truth we have in this verse is vitally important for you and I as Christians to understand if we're going to be able to receive the fullness of its comfort. Because you see, the believer's comfort is not founded on emotions and feelings alone. We tend to rely more on that than we do on God's Word. But the majority, if not all, of our comfort, and it does affect our emotions as well, but that emotion must be founded upon God's Word. If we don't have an intimate knowledge or acquaintance with God's Word, then we're not going to be able to enjoy the measure of comfort we want or we wish to have or that God offers. So the measure of our comfort as God's people has a lot to do with the measure of our acquaintance and knowledge of Scripture. That's why I emphasize all the time, we must be studious, diligent in reading God's Word. We mentioned that last week on Sunday morning. Because the more we are acquainted with God's Word, the more we're going to be able to receive and experience its comfort. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, Paul said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." That's found in Romans 15:4. That through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. I won't chase that rabbit, but it's amazing how Paul unites patience and comfort of the Scriptures as though one can't be had without the other. And the patience there referring in many instances basically to afflictions and trials, and that's when patience is exercised. He said, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That we need both of those. Both of those are joined together. And it's God's Word, beloved. It's God's Word which must be the very foundation and reason of our comfort. Why do I emphasize that? Because too often we as believers try to find comfort in our feelings and emotions only. And don't misunderstand me. God's Word will comfort us in our emotions. But if we're looking merely for a fleshly, emotional comfort, we're not going to get it. It's not going to be able to withstand whatever we're facing. Only the power of God's Word dwelling in our hearts is able to give us that comfort that can withstand the storms of life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's why we have to read. We have to meditate.
As a pastor, I've run into a lot of people who try to describe to me what they think God or who God is. And I'll go back to Scripture and say, well, what does Scripture say? And they'll say, well, I'm not as educated as you are in Scripture, but this is what I feel. It's not important what I feel. It's what does God's Word say? And too often we put our own feelings above what God's Word says. So if you're going to try to defend yourself and your emotions, then do it with God's Word as your foundation, not as what you feel or think, because you're sorely mistaken if you do. And Satan loves that kind of emotionalism. But with God's Word, beloved, we find that real comfort that we need to have. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 111, due to time, I'm going to let you read some scriptures later, but due to time, Psalm 119, 111, the psalmist said this, Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Thy testimony, Thy Word, as a heritage, a priceless value, a treasure, my heritage. I've taken them for my heritage. He goes on to say, For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I love that. I love when God, the Spirit of God, works the truth of God in my heart and enables me to understand and experience its comfort in a way that I know I could have physically, emotionally, reasonably never attained to. I love what Martin Luther says, and I quote it often, and I'm not embarrassed about it or ashamed. When Martin Luther said, The truths of God, God has ordained that His truth should triumph through us. God hath ordained that His truth should triumph through us. People should be seeing walking Scripture, so to say. And don't we love it as believers when God's Word really takes a hold of our hearts and our affections and changes not only the emotion that we have, but also establishes us and changes our being, even the way we think about things. Beloved, this is the power of God's Word. It not only changes or does something to the emotion and the reasoning, but it changes our entire being. The way we think, our attitudes, our behaviors. That's why we emphasize this morning, and I thank you for everyone coming to Sunday school, and I hope you're enjoying the Sermon on the Mount as much as I am going through it and being reminded of all these things that I'm falling short of, but I'm loving it. But that's why I'm saying it all has to do with who we are and how we're living and how God's Word is affecting us in our daily lives, how we interact with other people. That's what it's all about. And that's why it's important for us to realize that God's Word has got to be our heritage and the rejoicing of our heart. And it can't be if we don't have an intimate relationship and acquaintance with His Word. So read the Word of God. Please, and I'm speaking to myself as well, read and meditate upon the Word of God and watch how it conforms and transforms the way we think and the way that we are. And I hope and pray this verse does this morning, because this is a very important subject and it's a very difficult one. I need your attention, because if you don't listen to me this morning, if the Spirit of God don't help us all, we're in trouble. But if you don't participate this morning and stay with me, and I'm going to let you read some scriptures, you're not going to be able to understand this or receive His comfort. And I want you to. That's my goal as a preacher. Not to entertain you. Not to make you be astounded by my words of wisdom, which I have none. But that you might be drawn closer to Christ. That, like Paul said, Christ might be more conformed in you. That's every preacher's desire. So that's my goal this morning. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to see this great treasure this morning in verse 9. Now let's read them again and let's begin. It said, A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Beloved, if you and I really want great comfort, when we often feel, listen to me, when we often feel discouraged and disheartened on our pilgrimage, listen to me. How often do we? Okay? We often feel discouraged and disheartened on our pilgrimage through this world. And that's what we're on. This is a pilgrimage. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Daily is a pilgrimage for the believer. And we often get discouraged. We often disheartened because of the path we're walking down or the path that we're presently attempting to move down. We get discouraged and disheartened. We need to understand what the wise Solomon is saying here in this verse. For who among us this morning, honestly, can humbly confess that there have been times in our life that we have felt confused and disorientated in our Christian walk? Don't know about you, but sometimes what God does in my life disorientates me to the limit. And I don't know what's going on. And I'm confused at where I'm at in my present pilgrimage. And I think we've all been there, right? We all have. Well, when we get confused and disorientated or disheartened, what do we do? Well, normally, naturally, we try to figure things out on our own. What happens when we come to a point and we can't figure it out on our own? And it don't make no sense. And it's hard for me to grasp what's going on. It's hard for me to comprehend. And don't we want to have some kind of comprehension what's going on in our life when we're disorientated spiritually? What do we do? Man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Simple answer. You know, we all know that verse that God's Word is a lamp and a light under our path. That's exactly what we have to do. You know why? You know why Psalms 119, verse 105 says that? Because we're not able to shine light on our path by ourselves. We can't. Only this can. That's why it says God's Word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. It says our feet, where I'm putting my foot, and a light onto the path I'm walking. If we try to devise any other thing in that pathway, we're not going to be able to have enough, because we don't have enough light to see what God's doing. It has to be God's Word. And beloved, that requires more humility and faith than we actually think. Because our emotions are running high right now. We're reasoning everything. We can't understand it. And God says, no, let my Word be a light or a lamp, and let my Word be a light unto your path. In other words, let it guide you wherever you're at. Let it be your light so you can see each step you're taking. And beloved, we are not always humble enough to accept that. Are we? I'm not. I like how an old Puritan preacher said one time, faith takes us above reasoning and human understanding, and puts us on a plane that is far above that. That's what faith is. He said, well, how do I understand that? Listen to me. If you're born again this morning, you believe in a God you've never physically seen. You believe in a heaven you've never been to. You believe that when you die, you're going to be in the presence of God. You're radical. Reasoning doesn't say there's a heaven someplace. Human reasoning doesn't say there's anything after death. But we believe in those things. That's just a few things. Faith takes us above that. So when we get in a place in our Christian life where we're disorientated, remember this. We can devise anything we want in our hearts, like the verse says. Here's the comfort, though. I've devised something in my heart. I can't figure out my step. You don't have to. Why? Because the Lord is the one that directs your steps. So when my heart's blind to what's going on, guess who's watching over me? Guess who's leading my every step behind the scenes? Guess who's making sure I'm going down the right path even when I can't understand it? It's God who's guiding my steps. Man, I want to shout and jump a few pews when I get a hold of that. Because, beloved, that is exactly what we need in this day and age in which we live in. And that goes far beyond human reasoning or understanding. A faith that says, I don't understand. I can't reason it. I can't fathom it. But oh, faith reaches above that and says, but God is directing my every step. Amen. The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. It's faith. A man's heart deviseth. That word deviseth means conceive. Imagine. He invents his own way. That's what man does. Man always tries to reason with this. Now let me ask you a question. What's the Bible say about this? Desperately wicked. Who can trust it? Jeremiah. Who can trust it? Desperately wicked. But we tend to lean on this. We feel something. Whew, we respond. That's not right. And I'm just as guilty as the next guy. But we tend to devise things in our hearts. We conceive things. We imagine things. We invent things. What we want to do. Where we want to go. How we want to do it. And that's nothing wrong with that. But you know where we get our greatest comfort is not in what my heart is devising. And God will let me devise that. You know where my greatest comfort is? My heart can devise it, but guess who's taking my steps and leading them where it should be? Oh, I feel sorry for those people who don't believe in the sovereignty of God. Amen. Well, I can fight against God. Well, you must be God. Yes. Well, I'm bigger than God. I can do whatever I want. God won't stop me. Well, you must be sovereign then. Right. And you're not. And I'm not. I love the sovereignty of God. Amen. Because it overrules my stupidity. God says, I want you to go to that door. Well, God, I'm going to advise the way to go this way. God says, okay, you can go that way for a while. But you know where you're going to end up? You might be walking in between the pews and take you 14 hours to get there, but you're going to get to that door. Amen. The good man, he's going to go straight for that door. He's going to waste time. He's going to have more comfort. He's going to have more victory. And you're going to be moaning and groaning while you're walking between those long pews, trying to get where I'm going to get you anyway. Woo! Glory! I love when God does that. What a confidence that is for the believer. Man's heart would devise, he'd conceive, he'd imagine his own way, but it's the Lord who sovereignly directs his step. Herein, beloved, lies the beauty and wisdom of the sovereign government of God. God does what He wants to. Let me tell you something. The White House isn't in charge of America. Hello? People's reading the news and they're going, oh no, oh no, what are we going to do? The White House isn't in charge of America. God never gave man that power. God governs everything. Even that egghead in the White House. Did I say that loud? I guess I did. God governs everything. Believe me, if He can get Nebuchadnezzar to eat grass, you think He's doing what He wants to up there? You don't think God's ordering His steps to lead this nation where God wants it to be? Those dummies won the lawsuit against that cake company. Did you hear that? What, $35,000? $135,000? Because they wouldn't make cakes for a lesbian wedding or a gay wedding. The gays won the lawsuit. The cake company now has to pay $135,000 for not making a cake. Only in America. Oh, we're going downhill. Yeah, they are. The world's going downhill. Heading to hell faster than you can shake your hand. Still doesn't mean God's not on the throne. Still doesn't mean He's doing what He's supposed to do and what He plans to do. God's not sitting up there going, man, I didn't expect this law happening in court. How in the world did they get by? I'm going to have to appeal this. No. Israel said, we want a king like all the other nations. We want to be like everybody else. Samuel got mad. He says, no. God says, no, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Let them get a king. A king of their own choice. So God gave him Saul. You know why we have the people in leadership we do? God says, that's who you want? I'm going to give them to you. But that's not going to dwarf my purposes. That's not going to change my plan. I'm not going to plan B. God doesn't have plan B. God's got a plan A. And it's never changed. Oh man, I love being a Christian. Especially in this day and age. I love being a Christian. You say, well, look at all the trouble. I love being a Christian. And I'm really excited about what God's fixing to do with His people. It's like I said before, we're either going to be found in or out. That's why we're doing the parables. I went in. I went in on this thing. You know that? I went in on this thing. I don't want to be like the 10 spies who come back and say, oh, it's too big for us, it's too much for us, we can't handle it. God says, okay, get out of the way. Joshua and Caleb, you go ahead and I'm going to give you land, I'm going to give you prosperity, I'm going to bless you because you believe my promises. I want to be one of the two. Listen to me, beloved. Something's coming down pretty big. I don't want to miss it. I want to be in it. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of this. God's fixing to play the last move in the chess game. And nothing anybody done, nothing any human being has ever done has thwarted that purpose. Man devises, but the Lord directs us, is what it says. Now listen to me. I need you to listen to me, man. I'm running out of time. I want some verses I want you to read. Now listen to me. Listen to me very carefully because I don't want to confuse you. Man devises, but the Lord leads us. Listen to me. Man without his free will is merely a machine. Listen to me. He's just a machine. God without his unchangeable purpose ceases to be God. You see, what I'm saying is God allows us to devise things. Still doesn't cease to be God. And He's still going to get His way. Whether man wants to or not. That's both in saved and lost people. God does what He wants. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. I want you to read these verses with me. And I don't want to be too long here with you, but I want you to read Scripture because that's the clearest way, that's the best way, that's the only way for God's people to understand. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 21. Again, there are many devices in a man's heart, many imaginings, many things he tries to conceive, many. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord... don't you love that word, nevertheless? Man can conceive... He can invent. He can imagine anything he wants to, but that's still not going to change the counsel of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I did something and God's displeased with me and now God's changed His plan for my life. No, He hadn't. No, He hadn't. But you don't understand. No, you don't understand. His counsel shall stand in nothing. Because maybe of what we've devised, it sent us between the pews, made us go a little longer. We're still going to get to the door. You know, I say to Satan a lot, you may have caused me to stumble. I might be in a labyrinth right now trying to chase a dog's tail in circles, but I'm going to get to the door because God directed my steps. His counsel shall stand. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. Oh, I love this one. This humbles man. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel, threefold, against the Lord. We're not wise enough. We're not understanding enough. We're not smart enough. What's it saying? Well, we're just plumb dumb when it comes to the counsel of the Lord. None of those things. None of those things is against the Lord. Nothing. Look, we're in Psalm 33:11. I want you to look at this too. Psalm 33:11. Psalm 33. Don't you just love the Word of God? It explains everything. Explains what they say in these texts. Explains everything. Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. You know what that forever means in German? Forever. Know what it means in Hebrew? Forever. Know what it means in Greek? Forever. How long is forever? Forever. Get the point? When God counsel states something, when God counsel devises something, it's forever. Listen to this. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Forever. So let me give you a bigger picture. It's hard for us to understand, but try to grasp in our finite minds. It's kind of hard. But let me give you a picture. Here's God in heaven who knows everything. There's no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. There's only ever present with God. That already has blown our finite mind to pieces. We can't fathom that because we're restricted by time. It's almost 12 o'clock and folks are getting anxious to go home and have dinner. We're confined by time. God's not. God sees everything from the beginning to the end right now. So God says, Jackie, I'm going to save you here and I'm going to deliver you in heaven here and everything in between. I'm guiding your every single step. Even though you devise to go to the left, I'll eventually get you back to the right. Even though your desires go to the right, I'll get you back to the left. I'm going to get you where I plan to get you because I've already counseled this from the beginning of the world. Amen. There's nothing not known to God. Otherwise, He's not God. That's right. You think God didn't know David had fallen into sin with Bathsheba? He sure did. You think God didn't know Adam would take that fruit? Well, Eve. Adam just listened to his wife. Just as guilty, okay? You don't think God knew that before? Of course He did. Well, I don't know whether God decreed that, permitted that, or allowed that. Let me tell you something. If He didn't fall, we'd have never had Christ as our Savior. Oh, what a salvation this. You see where I'm going? I'm going behind the scenes of reasoning and understanding on the human standard. And I'm saying, look what faith is saying here to us as God's children. Let the White House do what they want to. Let the world do it. Let the United Nations do what they... Let them do what they want to. That might shake us a little bit, but come back to Proverbs 16:9 and realize it's God who is directing our steps. And His counsel stands forever. One more verse, Isaiah 46. And I love this one. Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. I have to really hurry here. Isaiah chapter 46. Look in verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Watch this. Declaring the end from the beginning. Now let me ask you a question. Stop right there. Listen to me. Why didn't He start with the beginning, declaring the beginning to the end? Look at the phrasing here. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's a pretty big God. It's basically saying, I'm going to direct the steps of man. No matter what he devises in his heart. You say, preacher, you mean I can do whatever I want to do? You can do whatever you want to do. But God's going to get you where he planned to get you in the first place. Now, I don't know about you, but I really don't want to walk around all them pews to get to that door. Try that. After church, we'll all line up and we'll just walk through the pews to get to that back door. You tell me, by the time you get to the back door, if you'd much rather just walk straight down the aisle to get to that door. So it's your choice, it's my choice. If I submit myself to this, when I say, God directeth my step, it's a clean path straight up that line. If I don't, God says, okay, go ahead, walk around the pews. You're still going to get where Audie got. It's just going to take you longer. What a blessing that is to know that. Now listen to me, real close. As rational beings, listen to me. You need to grasp this. If not, I've got it recorded. Get it later. Listen to it again. As rational beings, we think, we consult, we act freely. As dependent beings, the Lord exercises His own power in permitting, overruling, or directing our acts. Again, as rational beings, we think, we consult, we act freely. But because we're dependent beings too on God, He is the one that permits, overrules, and directs our acts. Listen to me. God orders our will. Listen to me. God orders our will without infringing our liberty. Praise God. God orders our will without infringing our liberty or removing our responsibility. I love that. It's a mystery. God orders our will without infringing our liberty or removing our responsibility. God says, you can do what you want. You can devise in your heart what you want to do, but I'm going to direct your steps. You know why we became Christians? Oh, well, I said a prayer. No. Well, I believe no. You know what God did? God made us willing to come of ourselves. God had moved in your heart, in my heart, we'd have never chosen Him. We're not good enough. Amen. We don't understand enough. We're strangers. We're haters of God. Romans chapter 3, there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth righteous. There's none that's good. No, not one. None of us. We're totally depraved. If God didn't move first, and He did it without infringing our liberty, you know what He did? He said, listen to me, I'm going to touch your heart and make you love me. Woo! God didn't drag me and pull me. God opened up my heart, opened up my will, and He said, here, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you see how much I love you. I'm going to open your heart. You say, why God doesn't God do that to all men? First of all, I don't believe in universal salvation because it's unbiblical. But what I'm saying is your salvation and my salvation is resting on the sovereign grace of God and not upon anything that we are or did or were, because we were unlovable, we were sinners, we were no good, we wasn't seeking after God, none searches for God, none loveth God. If God didn't make the first move, so what do you do with that? You praise God for making the first move. And you pray He makes the first move in your family and your loved ones. You pray God sovereignly moves, because that's the only thing that's going to help them. You think you and I can convince them? God has to move. So let's start praying, God, move. Amen? I'm running late. I'm already late. Listen to me. Joseph's brethren, when they threw David in the pit, were intended to inflict him. Remember? What did God do with all that? Took him out of the pit. Took him to Egypt. He was a servant and he was a prisoner. But by the time God was finished with Joseph, he was where Joseph was supposed to be. You know why? Because when Joseph was a kid, he said, I had a dream. They're all going to bow down before me. So you see, God already told Joseph, I've got plan A and only plan A for you, and it's going to be on the throne. How we get there, I'm going to direct those steps. Even your evil brethren, devices, isn't going to change that. They threw you in a pit, wanted to kill you, sold you to the Egyptians. Didn't matter. You still got on the throne. Right? David's father said, here, take bread to your brethren. Feed them. Make sure they got breakfast. David left his sheep with a servant, prancing off to the war. Had no idea he was going to run into a Goliath. But God did. Just a few examples. Beloved, what confidence and hope should this great truth produce in a believer's heart? Especially in these latter days when everything appears to be chaotic and confused. When evil and sin appear to be unrestrained and condoned, and it looks as though everything's going the wrong way. Beloved, this is our comfort. This is our comfort as believers, that a man devises in his heart, but God directs his steps. Amen. That's the kind of confidence we need going in these latter days. So that when we look at the news, we're not going, oh Lord, what are we going to do now? We're not going to do nothing. We're going to take God's Word as a heritage. We're going to rejoice in it. And we're going to say the steps of a good man is led by the Lord, directed by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. God, give us grace. Stay in this book. Stay in this book. Live it. Read it. Breathe it. Sleep it, dream it, meditate over it. That book's going to be the solution. That book is going to give us what we need to face these latter days. Because that book tells us who He is. Amen? Man, love God. Love being a Christian. It's getting exciting again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And again, we thank You, Lord, for those portions of Scripture that takes us beyond what we reasonably thought, takes us beyond any human imagination, even challenges what we've believed up till now. Father, I pray that You continue transforming us and conforming us into the image of Christ. Father, so many times on my pilgrimage, and I'm sure everyone can witness to this, Lord, You've showed me things that, Lord, made me understand the things I used to believe were not totally correct. That I had a false understanding of it. But Your Word cleared that up for me. And Father, I pray that we would always be willing and able, by Your grace, to receive the engrafted Word with meekness. And I pray that, Lord, You'd help it to grow in us and prosper in us. Lord, help us to triumph through us. Help us to understand this truth, we pray. So we might honor and glorify You in all things. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. And amen. The Lord bless you. Have a good week.